When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
And I completely understand, you know, everybody is going to look at the Bears based on what we've seen over the last number of years and be like, I believe it when I see it. And you know what's honestly, we did that last year with the Lions. Like a lot of people were dubious of the Lions. They're like, ah, 1 year, it's still the same old sorry Lions. They went out and won the division. The Bears to me are in a very similar situation. And it's not just Bears fans saying this. We saw Sauce Gardner before the draft asking people why did a team with the Bears talent have two top 10 picks? We've seen other organizations. We've seen other, you know, media outlets now jumping aboard. Nick Wright, of all people, is now saying the Bears should win 10 games. It's happening, people. And one of the reasons why is the guy who's going to be joining us here today. So you know what, Sammy? I don't want to waste any time. Let's start the show.
Turn up your volume, because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast with Adam Rank.
It's Hester trying to work it back to the middle, gets past the first wave, and here he goes. It's Hester inside the 30. Hester's going to take it all the way for a touchdown, and no flag, 92 yards.
The Sickest Chicago Bears and Fantasy Football Podcast.
Sports entertainment like no other.
It's gonna be sick.
Hey everybody, welcome to a very special edition of the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank. And it's so apropos, our introduction talks about Devin Hester and the impact that he made as a special teamer. You know, it really shows, and we've been talking about this for years, trying to get Devin Hester into the Hall of Fame. You got to win all three phases of the game, offense, defense, and special teams. And this past Thursday, what was it, a couple of weeks ago? Geez, I've lost track of time. But the Bears showed a commitment to the special teams when they drafted the best punter in all of college football. And he's a member of the Chicago Bears. And guess what? He's joining us right now. Tory Taylor is with us here today. Tory, how are you? Thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. I'm great. I actually just finished my last exam ever. So graduated
you did.
This weekend. So yeah, it's been a fun couple of weeks. So yeah,
congratulations.
But no, I appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you.
No. Honestly, the honor and the privilege is all ours. We're very excited for you to be done with Iowa. How was that experience for you? How did you end up, like, listen, we're Big Ten people. Like, that's okay. How did you end up at Iowa? Of all, not no disrespect to Iowa, huge fan. George Kittle went there. They had a great tradition of football. How did you end up at Iowa?
Oh, long story short, basically, I was my coaches back home in Australia, Nathan Chapman and John Smith of Pro Kick Australia. They sent off, I guess, film or punting videos to Coach Woods, a special teams coordinator here. And I mean, I suppose he must have liked what he saw. So he came and flew out all the way to Australia in January 2020, watched me punt a couple of times, and the rest is history. Yeah, yeah. I always wanted to come to the Big Ten because I feel like if you can prove yourself in the, I guess, poorer conditions, it usually goes a long way. And I feel like a couple of weeks ago really kind of showed that.
No, 100%. And you're from Melbourne, Australia, which to a lot of people who don't know, it's also very rainy. It's got some weather there as well. So coming to Chicago is going to be no problem for you at all, obviously, playing in Iowa.
Nah, not at all. And it's one thing that I'm really excited about. You know, everyone wants it to be 75 degrees and sunny every day, but it's just not going to be like that. So you just, whatever's dealt my way, I'll handle it, and I'm excited.
No, I know the first time your family got to come out and see you, you were playing, I think it was Iowa State, and it was a downpour in the third quarter. Like, they're like, oh, you know what? We didn't need it to rain. You didn't have to make us feel that welcome. So obviously not going to be an issue for you dealing with the elements. But when you were getting involved in football, you decided, like, you know what? I want to pursue punting. Did you have an NFL team? Was there one particular team you were following?
No, not necessarily. But I will say I was a Cowboys fan growing up, and I used to watch their games quite a bit. And then that play happened with Dez Bryant, where I personally thought it was a catch and he made a football move or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. But then after that, I went, I cracked the sads and didn't watch NFL anymore for a couple of years because I was like, oh, man, this is screwed. Like, what have they done? Right. But it was one of those things that could have gone either way. But then I started probably watching an NFL.
But it made you hate Green Bay a little bit though, right?
Exactly.
That started you on the right track of hating Green Bay.
Exactly. And then it was probably 20. I mean, I'd always obviously enjoyed NFL, but then it was probably when I started looking at punting in late 2017. That's when my interest really ramped up, started watching college football, which I didn't actually understand was just as big as the NFL in terms of crowds and things like that, probably even bigger.
Yeah.
So it was late 2017 started, gaining an interest in, I guess, punting, and that really translated into gaining an even bigger interest on American football in general.
Yeah. The crowds that you're playing in front of in Iowa will be bigger than the crowds that you'll see in Carolina or some of those other cities. Like, no, and no disrespect to them, but like, it's true.
Yeah,
like, and it's huge. And it's funny because, I mean, you come from Australia. As compared to like somebody like George Kittle, Seth Roth, like Iowa kids who grew up loving the Bears. During your time in Iowa, did you kind of develop, Chicago's close, kind of watching them? Was it kind of a big deal when the Bears selected you? Because I know for a lot of Iowa kids, that's the dream. But for you, what was it like getting that call from the Bears?
Oh, it was amazing because I think I've said it a few times. My girlfriend's from Chicago, so she was always like, oh, the Bears, I hope it's the Bears. And it was like one pick, it was probably like the 110th pick. She's like, oh, only 12 picks away. I was like, can you just settle? Like, whatever happens will happen, and we'll deal with it then. And then it got to like 117, and she's like, 5 picks away. I was like, will you just shut up? And then
you're nervous at this point, and you're like, please, I just want to live.
Yeah, then it got to pick like 119 or 120, and I saw the Illinois number on my phone, and I was just like, no effing way. I was like, is this really happening? And it's literally like a dream come true because I really, really wanted to come to Chicago, but I was like, oh man, are they going to draft a punter? They've only got 4 draft picks. It was really one of those things. It was probably a little bit of a stretch, but I really wanted to come to Chicago because, first and foremost, sports capital of America. It's only 3 hours from Iowa City. Chicago Bears fans are like absolutely nuts. So I used to live with a guy named Henry Marquise, who's a former player here. And he used to watch Bears games religiously. And I'm like, this guy is a psycho. Like, he'd sit in the living room, like yelling at the TV. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? But that's just, I guess, how Bears fans are. And I love that because that's kind of like how Hawkeye fans are too. They just live and breathe football. So, to answer your original question, it was absolutely amazing.
What did your girlfriend do? Does she grab the phone? Like, what does she do? Like, what is she doing when you're trying to talk with the Bears management at that point?
It was funny because I had another call from a coach from another team ring me and just asking all what's going on. And then I was like, oh, hang on, my agent's ringing me. So I'm talking to my agent, and then I'm like, oh, hang on, Bruce, I'm getting a call. And it was an Illinois number. And I was actually outside in the garage. And I was like, shit, I've got to go back inside now so everyone can kind of enjoy this experience a bit more.
Right.
And then I'm kind of sitting on the couch. And then I remember just like tapping her on the leg and like pointing at the TV. And she's just like, oh, my God, it's happening, it's happening. It was a pretty – it was just a crazy 5 minutes, you know. And then the funniest part was I obviously hung up the call to the Bears, and then rang my agent straight away, just said, you know, thanks for everything, blah, blah, blah. And then it was at like pick 120 or so, and I'm ringing my special teams coordinator, who I'm close with here, Coach Woods. I ring him and he's like, oh, what's up, dude? Like, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. Like, so nonchalant about everything. And I'm like, Coach Woods, like, I just got drafted by the Bears, didn't you see? And then I'm looking at the TV going, oh, it's still two picks away. Like, it's not public knowledge yet or anything like that. It's literally just the Bears, everyone in the room with me, and my agent that knew. So I called him and he was just like, no way. I was like, yeah, turn the TV on. I just realized it's going to be up in a couple of minutes. So, yeah, it was just a crazy 5-10 minute period. And then my phone was just going absolutely crazy for like 24 hours. But it was, yeah, it was something I'll obviously never live again. But one of the greatest moments of my life for sure. I'm just really, I guess, humbled and grateful to be a part of the Bears. And it seems like it's a good time to join the great organization of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and we're absolutely thrilled to have you. And your quarterback was also thrilled to have you, because it was noted that Caleb Williams texted you, have that, like, hey, and he said, hey, you're not gonna punt too much here. What was that like? I mean, you know, first of all, you know, Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick in the draft. You play college football, so you're obviously very, very well aware of them. Did you know him beforehand? Like, does he introduce himself? Like, hey, Caleb Williams here. You're not going to punt too much here. How did that go down?
Nah, so I never actually met him, but at the combine, I ran into him in the hallway a couple of times, and I was like, oh, what's up, man? Like, blah, blah, blah. But he would not have any idea who I was. He would not remember that. But obviously, I'm like, oh, it's Caleb Williams. He's the number one pick. Obviously, I knew who he was. So I'd seen him a couple of times, but never really met him, I guess. But then, yeah, to get a text from him was, yeah, certainly pretty cool. And I was more than, when he said, oh, you're not going to be punting much, I was like, that's good with me, man. Let's go win some games.
Yeah. I always felt bad for the punter, because, like, if the team's really good, like, we're never going to see you. But you do get to hold on the special teams at least. So you will be able to contribute. I look forward to you holding for Cairo a lot of extra points this season. So that should be pretty good. I also know, too, like, other teams, it feels like, were upset. You talk about, you know, some of the interests with you. I look at, like, the special teams coach for the Chicago Bears came out recently, too, said a lot of teams were upset. Did you kind of feel like there was a vibe, like a lot of teams wanted you? Because I feel like punting has become such a big part of the NFL, like, once overlooked. I think now teams are trying to really hone in on that. Did you feel like you were getting pursued by a lot of teams?
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of thought I may have gone a little bit earlier to a couple other teams. But then a few special teams coaches rang and texted me on the day saying, hey, really hope you're such and such once the day ends. And I kind of thought, oh, well, like, don't just say it. Like, let's make it happen. But a lot of the time, it's really up to, I guess, the GM and things like that and whoever makes those sort of calls. But yeah, at the end of the day, if they wanted me, they should have come and got me, but I'm glad they didn't, because I'm at the Bears now. It's literally perfect.
No, and so much of this stuff is working out. Like, just a little story about running into Caleb Williams at the combine. You know, we saw Caleb and Rome Odunze, you know, palling around, going to the draft, you know, being on the same flight to Detroit. It feels like this is a really special class, but at the same time, it's like, you're also being overlooked. I think in most seasons, you would be like the most, like, insanely popular guy, but Caleb's in this class too. Are you okay sharing the spotlight with him a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. He can take it all. I think it's one of those things that, and I guess probably being a specialist, like, most specialists would understand this. And if you're just one of those, like, boring specialists that goes out there and does their job and doesn't attract attention, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and I'm more than happy to be that guy who just goes out there, does his job. No one talks about you. It's really just one of those things. You kind of just go out there, tick the box, hit a good ball and move on to the next. I think when you start, you know, you're obviously going to get attention being in the NFL, but it's really, that's all just part of it. But like I said, if you're kind of one of the, I don't want to say boring, it probably isn't the right word, but
no,
it's one of those things. If you kind of just do your job day by day, week by week, game by game, then yeah, you'll be pretty be pretty set for quite a while.
But you did gain a pretty sizable following at Iowa. Like, you became a very popular player. Like, even coming for before you got drafted, a lot of people knew who you were. Like, I like noticed, like, I would watch Iowa games. You know, I like watching you. I like watching Cooper DeJean and player, you know, like, you were an attraction. Did you kind of notice that when you were playing at Iowa? Like, yeah, people are, they're kind of tuning in for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in general, there was really just a lot of excitement when the punt unit went out there. And I was fortunate enough.
A little
that,
bit, yeah.
Yeah, I had a bunch of guys and stars on the punt unit that wanted to be on the punt unit. Like, Cooper DeJean had every reason not to want to be on the punt unit and just start at corner. But yeah, we just love going out there and making plays. And I think that's really just the way that Iowa football has been the last few years, which I think has really helped me for sure.
And do you get – what's that satisfaction like? I saw you being compared to, like, the Scottie Scheffler of punters. Is that – do you like that one or do you not like that one?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Scottie Scheffler's pretty high-class athlete, one of the best at what he does, probably the best right now at the moment. But, yeah, I don't want to compare myself to Scottie Scheffler. I'll leave that for everyone else.
For me, I'll do it. I'll be the one who does it.
Yeah, sure. But yeah, I just really enjoy my time at Iowa, going out there and making plays. And I'm kind of a big believer in you've got to make things happen yourself. Like, as silly as it sounds, like, I would rather have the ball in my hands than anyone else, because you can kind of manipulate the game how you want to manipulate the game. And at the end of the day, I love winning games. So I'm going to do whatever I can to help the team so we can walk into the locker room with a W.
Yeah, and again, winning all three phases of the game, like I said before you came on, like, a big thing, and it's a big tradition in Chicago. But speaking of the sticking to the golf, now obviously I'm a huge golf fan, and so one of my favorite players is Adam Scott.
Yeah,
we also like oh gosh, who's the guy with the hair? Why can't I think? Cam Smith. Yeah, of course. I just had Cam Smith on my fantasy on my Masters team a couple of weeks ago. I can't believe I forgot that. You think about those guys now. Obviously, Adam has won a couple of Masters. Cam won the Players. Did he win the Masters too? But he's won some big
British
tournaments.
British Open,
that's what it was. Every time they always talk about the announcers, and they're always like, oh, they're keenly watching this in Australia. They always make it seem like the entire nation is tuned in to see Adam Scott or Cam Smith win the Open. Is that true? Does that really happen?
Absolutely.
Does it really?
Yeah, because, you know, America's got so many, I guess, great athletes in so many different sports, whereas on a global scale, there's really only maybe tennis and golf from an individual standpoint. So whenever there's an Australian doing well, everyone knows about it.
Really?
So everybody knows when Cam Smith is playing well, everybody knows when Adam Scott won the Masters. Like, that was a big, big deal. Same with other countries like Japan. Like, I remember when Hideki Matsuyama won the golf, my auntie, who's full Japanese, was like, oh, did you see Matsuyama won the golf? And she doesn't know a single thing about golf. Like, she wouldn't know one other player. She wouldn't even really understand the game of golf at all. But she's like, oh, Matsuyama won the Masters. So pretty similar deal, you know, when an Aussie's doing well, yeah, certainly everybody knows about it.
I love that. Well, you know, I also live in Southern California. So when Shohei Ohtani was playing locally for the Angels, you know, obviously we had a huge Japanese fan base. The ads were dominated with Japanese companies. I guess what I'm getting at, and this is what I really hope, this is what I really want, this is what I'm trying to get at. Are the Bears going to become the unofficial team of Australia? Because I'm here for it. I want to be that team. Like, I want to be like, you know what? If I'm walking around I'm walking around in Bears gear like this, and an Aussie sees me, like, I want to be, I want to dap them up, and I want to have a little kinship there. Are we on the cusp of being Australia's team?
It pains me to say this. No, there's actually a lot of Green Bay Packers fans, because they're the same, like, green and gold is the Australian Olympic colors.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of Green Bay Packers fans back home, but and there's a lot of bandwagoners as well who obviously went for the support the Chiefs and the Patriots back in the day.
But
then a lot of Steelers fans as well.
The Patriots people are going to be looking for a new team. Like, it's easy for them to bail. And here's the thing: is you give them the reason to jump. Like a kid, like
yeah, all my friends and stuff like that. They're all Bears fans now, and obviously all my family. And there's certainly a lot of Bears fans now where I'm from. But I don't think I'm going to persuade too many people around the country of Australia, because there's certainly a lot of other Aussie guys.
I don't like that at all. I don't like your tone with that at all. I want to change that. Like, I don't know how quickly now your girlfriend's going to love this, because Simone Biles' husband plays for the Bears, and she could not wait to start dumping on Green Bay about talking about direct flights and all this stuff like that. We're a global city. We're a global team. I want Tory to be the reason why Australia is waking up, staying up late, whatever it is, to be watching. Like, I want to talk about when we're about to win the Super Bowl, that everybody in Australia is watching, because you're going to be out there.
We'll have to make that happen. We've got to make that happen for sure.
Do you remember, who was the other guy? Like Darren Bennett, like when he played for the Chargers, was he somebody like, was there a big, like, cause he was very popular, again, living in Southern California. When he was playing for the Chargers, he was like a popular guy. How popular was he in Australia?
Yeah, he was kind of the first Aussie guy to make the transition to the NFL from a punting standpoint. So, yeah, everyone kind of knows who Darren Bennett is back home. But then there's been a handful of Australian guys that have tried their hand at punting in the NFL, and it hasn't quite worked out. But, yeah, Darren Bennett is, yeah, he's certainly pretty well known. I wouldn't say people know him well, but they certainly know the name, if that makes sense.
No, I got it. No, it's huge. I want to make you the Adam Scott of the NFL. That's going to be my goal. Like, if I have one thing to do this season, I want Australia. I want our, and no disrespect, I want our podcast to be popular. Like, when I look at the numbers, I want to be like, oh yeah, Australia loves this podcast because we're friends with Tory Taylor. I think it's an amazing opportunity. What is the transition like for you now? Now you're moving from Iowa to Chicago. It's not that big a transition. Have you already figured out where you're going to live? Have you started to settle that kind of stuff? How's that looking?
Yeah, it's kind of obviously first and foremost, you got to make the roster, so you don't want to get too ahead of yourself. So it's kind of
they released the guy who would have played there. You're fine. You're in.
Yeah, I won't get into too much detail with that. But yeah, first and foremost, just trying to take it day by day. But got a couple ideas of like where I want to live, and fortunate enough that I've got a lot of friends, and obviously my girlfriend lives in she's from Winnetka, and her family's there too, but I'll probably move to somewhere near the facility, which I'm excited about. But yeah, heading up there in a couple of days, which is exciting.
Very good. So you're already, like, a lot of times we bring in rookies and we got to kind of, you know, educate them, so you're already down with like deep dish, all the thin crust tavern style. What do? Do we put ketchup on our hot dogs? We don't. So you're already averse. Like you are already hitting the ground running. Not having
you
to
guys
deal with that
don't, but I do.
Yeah, you got it. Though.
Always ketchup on a hot dog. I'm always doing that, and I don't care what anybody says.
Listen, I don't want this to turn adversarial. No, I'm just kidding. You do. Listen, I don't care. Listen, I don't. You keep putting the ball inside the 5-yard line. You can put ketchup on whatever you want. You want to get a deep dish pizza and put ketchup on it. I don't care how you take it. I know a lot of people.
Not quite that, but I do remember guilty admission. The first time I went to a Cubs game back in, I think it was 2022. They were playing the Dodgers, and I'd never been to Wrigley Field and had a hot dog, and I had one, and I was like, "Oh, these are good." So I was like, I'm going to go back and get another one. Anyway, I had 4 hot dogs with ketchup on them. And the looks I was getting, I'm like, why is everyone staring at me like I'm like the president walking around or something like that? Look, I'm like an idiot or something like that. And then my mate was like, oh, yeah, you don't put ketchup on hot dogs. I was like, yes, you do. And he's like, no, it's not a thing. I was like, well, there's something wrong with people here.
I actually feel an endorsement opportunity coming along for you. I think if there's anybody who can change it, it would be you. Like you would have the ability to kind of swing people's opinions. I think it's fun to joke about. Do you already, but like when it comes down to the, do you already have a favorite pizza place and everything like that?
I probably prefer Luminati's than anything else, but I'm not like a massive pizza guy, but I know pizza in Chicago is the best.
Yes.
Although everybody argues, oh, is it Chicago or Connecticut or New York or whatever it is, but I've never really had a bad pizza in Chicago, so I'm excited about that. But at the same time, I won't be eating pizza every night. They'll be putting me at tackle or something like that if that happens.
Well, it's one of the, I know, I think Chicago kind of gets that reputation. Like, people think that we go out and eat deep dish every night. It's kind of like, to me, I always equate it to Thanksgiving dinner, where it's like, you do it once a year when the family's in town, you go out, whether it's Lou Malnati's, where it's Girogiano's or whomever, Gino's East, Uno, whatever. You pick one, you go to it, and it's fine. Otherwise, you go to the tavern style, and you have a good time. What are you looking forward to the most in the upcoming NFL season?
Oh, that's a great question. Just playing at Soldier Field and, you know, like being a Chicago Bear. And I think I'm obviously being pretty biased, but I mean, it's the Chicago Bears. You know what I mean? Like, there's just something about it. And it's funny. I obviously knew they were a pretty proud and prestigious organization and really just team in general, even city. But then I rang one of my good friends, Jason Baker, who used to punt in the NFL for about 12 years, and rang him on draft day, and he said that place is crazy. He kind of just said, you know, everyone's gone crazy about Detroit the last couple of years, but if the Bears are to succeed, it's even bigger than that. And I was kind of like, wow, like, I know those Detroit Lions fans are pretty crazy. So for him to kind of say that, that kind of made me realize that, yeah, these Bears fans certainly take their football really seriously. So I'm kind of just excited to, I guess, establish myself on the team first and foremost and meet all the coaches and all the players and things like that. And yeah, just start smacking some balls.
There is no better place to play sports, especially when you're winning. And I think that you might not have missed, you might not have been there when the Blackhawks were really good. And obviously you missed the Bulls, but you know about Michael Jordan and everything like that. But there was nothing like the 85 Bears. And as much as the hockey team and both baseball teams, obviously the Cubs won the World Series in 2018. Those things have been, the White Sox in 2005. Those were great moments, but there will be nothing like the Super Bowl celebration for the Chicago Bears the next time it happens. And I really want you to be a part of that. And I think you'll really enjoy it. And the one thing that you're going to love about this city is that we do recognize the people, like the special teams. Like, it's no coincidence that somebody like Devin Hester is going to the Hall of Fame as a special teamer, because he was embraced by the city of Chicago. And
yeah, absolutely. You know,
so that's the thing I'm looking forward for you the most. And I think that, you know, your personality is shining through right here. I think you're going to be a big star. Are you looking for, obviously you're focusing on football, but we've seen Pat McAfee turn his punting career into a pretty successful media thing. Is that something that you kind of think of down the road, or are you just focused on ball right now?
Oh, literally have not thought about that at all. I'm just excited to punt some footballs and get amongst the team and just have some fun and win some games. So, no, I have not thought about that at all.
Good. That's the right answer. That's exactly what I was looking for. So I appreciate that with you. And by the way, I appreciate you being here. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you've got a lot of things going on. I really do appreciate it. This is really excited. When Anello and Sammy told me that you were going to be coming on the show, I was over the moon. This has been wonderful. I really do appreciate this. I hope we can do it again in the near future. We're rooting for you. When that pick happened, in the fourth round, I was so excited. I said, this is a winning organization pick. This is what smart teams do. And I'm looking forward to seeing you out there punting the football. Even though Caleb says it's not going to be too much, I'm still looking forward to it. And looking forward to talking to you again sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much. Really appreciate you guys having me on.
No, thank you so much. And we'll talk soon. And there he goes, the great Torrey Taylor, who is going to be a part of this Bears organization. I want to thank everybody who joined us here today. Also, a special shout out to Game Room Chicago, who hosted us during the draft a couple of weeks ago. You know, it was a momentous occasion, and really, really thankful that Torrey could be on with us here today. And again, it's what good organizations do. They go out there, they make picks like that, and then these are the things. And I know some people are like, fourth round pick, it doesn't matter. If Torrey Taylor goes out there and plays the way we are expecting him to play, then it's not going to matter whether he was a fourth rounder or a sixth rounder or anything like that. Don't get tied up in it. Just look at this draft class. When we look back, I would even suggest this. By the time that his playing career is done, we will look back at Torrey Taylor and be like, how did we get him in the fourth? Like, what a great value. That, what a steal that was. And we'll start looking at some of the players who are drafted around him. Like, can you believe that this guy went in front of Torrey Taylor? So I think that was a tremendous pick. Great work by Ryan Poles. We already see the teams are jealous already. We're talking about, you know, winning and all that stuff. So I want to thank him. And by the way, and thanks again to Sammy Nanello for lining that up. It was a tremendous opportunity to talk to him. Thanks to everybody for being here this evening. Appreciate you all. And with that, I'll just say bear down and Sammy, go ahead and play us out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.